Rosalind.
And I'm Annette, and we're the original Vandellas. And you're listening to our good friend, Mike Miller,
on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Terry Stewart, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. And you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on one of my favorite shows, the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my extreme pleasure to have as my guest, Joe Billingsley, the original founding member of the Contours, the lead singer of the Contours, still doing it with the Contours. I've worked with Joe. He's a fabulous guy. He's funny as heck. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing fine, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. So let's talk about how you got involved in music. I know you were born in Michigan, and you actually grew up in Detroit, and that's a place where there's an awful lot of talented people.
That's right. Yeah, I was born in Hamtramck, Michigan, which is about 10 miles outside of Detroit, but my family moved, of course, to the city, you know,
right.
And I grew up in Detroit, went to school in Detroit, finished high school in Detroit, joined the Air Force.
Right, now you sang with the boys' choir also.
I sung with the boys' choir in high school.
Because that always helps, I'm telling you, you know, when you start to develop your ear and you start to, like, listen to where your place is and the harmony and everything else, and you get it at an early age, it really stays with you, I know that.
That's definitely true.
So, I guess out of high school, you went into the Air Force, right?
Right. Went to the Air Force.
It says, if I'm not mistaken, that you were stationed in Maine, and I'm saying to myself, who gets stationed in Maine? But anyway, you know more about that than I do.
I went to Air Police School.
Right.
In California. Then they sent me to... From California, they sent me to Vermont.
Right.
I spent about 30 days in Vermont. Then left Vermont and went to Maine.
I love New England because I lived in New England for many years. I lived in Connecticut and New Hampshire and Maine is great. The only thing about Maine is when you drive up there from New York or Connecticut and you ask for directions, they give you directions back to your house. They don't want you there. They show you where the highway is and they want you to go back, even though it's a tourist state. You know, it's funny.
I spent 3.5 years in Maine, Machias, Maine.
Wow.
Which is about 100 miles from Bangor, Maine.
We used to go to Lake Sebago.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's a big, big lake touristy place, you know.
Yeah.
So, and you were actually singing in the Air Force because, you know, you couldn't stay put and you had to be creative. So you found a bunch of guys in the Air Force, which is great.
What we did, it was no, how can I put it, no glorious thing. It was a thing where you sing around the barracks.
Right.
And we got four guys and myself, and we just singing around, you know, singing songs around the barracks. And we call ourselves the Revere Tone 5.
Wow.
And the word Revere Tone came from the tape recorder we had. That was the name of the tape recorder, Revere Tone. So
wow.
We took the name Revere Tone 5.
Well, let me ask you something. Did you save any of that tape?
Of course not, man. You didn't do nothing like that.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's really funny. All of those stuff that we did on actual tape, it's all gone. Who knows where it is? And it was probably some pretty good stuff. I'll bet you there would be a lot of people that would love to get their hands on that stuff.
I would be one of those people because that would be amazing to hear how my voice sounded then and the harmony that we thought was good.
Oh yeah,
really, and found it was really bad.
No, I hear you because you get seasoned over the years, but there's nothing like that early on stuff. I mean, you know, I wish I had that stuff. I have so much stuff on cassette over the years, and I keep finding it and finding it. I can go back, let's say, 25 or 30 years, but you can't go back 45 years and recapture that stuff. It's gone.
That's true. It's gone. I received, about 4 months ago,
right,
a CD. It's called Dance.
Uh-huh.
The Contours.
Uh-huh.
And it's released already. It's released over in England.
Right.
The producer contacted me. I don't know how he got my number. He contacted me and sent me the copies and interviewed me and so forth. And
he probably got it from Odell. Odell gives it out to everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
He didn't get this because what it is, it's 26 songs
right
on this CD, and 24 of them had never been released before.
Wow.
It was songs that we recorded from 1960
right
to 1960. 4.
Let's listen now to a few of the tunes from the new Contour CD that's out in the UK. What do you say, Joe?
Since I met you, true love I found, and you done changed.
When I listen to Contours and I listen to, you know, The Hit, which we'll talk about in depth, and then I listen to some of the other stuff that the Contours have done, my goodness, I can list about 10, 12, 15 tunes that should have been hits. I mean,
like, even off of this CD, It's 26 songs on here, and not to be conceited, I think at least 23 of these songs would have reached the charts.
Listen, when I think of, because I'm a real big R&B fan, you know, as well as singing it, when you take Intruders, Manhattans, Isley's, you know, and all the groups that you can throw into that bag, my God, you guys were just off the chart good just in your feel for what you were singing and the talent in that group. Some of the ballads, some of the stuff that people don't really get to experience because the mainstream is hung on the hit. And that has a certain sound to it. It's very commercial. But when you guys really get inside of your R&B, I mean, that stuff is fabulous and needs to be heard.
I agree.
You know, no two ways about that. We're going to get into that. But let's go back to the Air Force. And you have the Revere Tones. And, of course, no more recordings. And then you hook up with Billy Gordon and you get together with the Majestics. Is that correct?
Correct. Billy Gordon and I went to high school together, and he stayed around the next block from around the corner.
Uh-huh. I know how that is.
I went to the Air Force. He went to the Army.
Gotcha.
And I got discharged from the Army in 57.
Right.
And 58. I'm sorry, 58.
Right.
And I ran into Billy on the bus.
Oh, wow.
Because I hadn't seen him since high school, so then he had went to the Army, so we exchanged pleasures.
Right.
And he told me he was singing with a group called Majestic.
Right.
Why don't I come to rehearsals? I didn't have anything to do, so I went to rehearsal with them.
Right.
I liked what they were singing. It was four of them. They were singing. I said, well, you guys sound real good. So they rehearsed twice a week.
Right.
I went to each one of their rehearsals. So this one guy, his name was Donald Stovall, he got married.
Okay.
They had a show to do in Toledo, Ohio. And he refused to go because he had just got married.
I know how that is. Yep.
So they asked me to go. I say, man, I'll go, but and I can sing, but I can't do them dancing you guys do. I couldn't dance like that. They said, well, we've got exactly a week to get you rested, man. I can't do all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
So they said, okay, we'll learn you three of our steps. That's real easy. So they learned me three songs with three steps
right.
to them. And I did them, of course, but I was really self-conscious. I knew I was just messing up.
Right.
But anyway, I did it, so they replaced me with, replaced Stovall and put me in the group, so I became a member of the Majestics.
Time is hard and I can't get a job.
Hard time, hard time.
Time's so hard I don't know where to start. Shovel snow, but when it's not a cold, I can't shovel no more.
Time is hot.
What?
Oh, don't you know?
Yeah. I used to in the trash, but that wasn't no cash. Yeah. And I used to run an errands, but my feet got bad. You know, one day I'll have a lucky streak and buy a whole lot of bread and a whole lot of meat.
Show.
drugstore and drank a Coca-Cola and beer without somebody telling me about you running around spending my money, riding the boys around in my car. Something's got to be done. Whole town's talking, girl, they're squawking about the way you treat poor me. Are you out of town? The whole town's frowning about the way you treat poor me. The lady next door and the man up the street say it's a shame the way you treat poor me. The whole town's talking, girl, they're squawking about the way you treat poor me. There's a lot of difference. About the way you treat poor me.
You know what? It's a total shame where that man treats. It's awful. You might as well do something about that woman.
Okay.
He did. So 2 days later, well, we went over to Billy Hogg's house and met Billy Hogg's, and we met a guy he had named Leroy Rollins. So we rehearsed that night, you know, we sung some songs, you know, just to get acquainted with the voices
right.
and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we sounded, I thought we sounded decent. So the next day, we came back to Billy's house, and he said, Leroy Rollins said he didn't want to sing. He said, well, I know another guy who I go to church with, he sounds good, so we're going to rehearse him. I said, okay, so.
Right.
We got Leroy Fair.
It's hard putting a group together from scratch, man. You know, people don't understand. You don't just stand it. You can take the five best singers in the world and put them together, and you don't just sing. I mean, it takes a little bit of time to get to know each other, you know.
That's for sure. So yep. We added Leroy Fair. He sounded, he fitted perfect. So now we got four. Billy Hogg's, Billy Gord, myself, and Leroy Fair.
Gotcha.
So now we got to get a name. So Billy Gordon said, well, We'll call ourselves the Blenders. That's the name of the group that he sung with in the service. The Blenders. Okay, we're the Blenders. So now we say, okay, now we got to get a fifth man. We need a bass singer.
Right.
So okay, well, we got to find a bass singer. So Billy Gordon had got a job at a car wash.
Uh-huh.
So a couple of days later, we had rehearsal. He came to rehearsal and he brought Hubert Johnson with him to rehearsal.
Gotcha.
And we listened to Hubert Johnson and he rehearsed with us and his voice fitted okay. So. We say, cool, this is good. So we had a Hubert with the group.
Right.
So now it's Billy Gordon, Hubert Johnson, myself, Billy Hogg, and Leroy Fair.
Gotcha.
So now we're rehearsing and knowing everything, and Motown had started and everything, and Barry Gordon was an up-and-coming entrepreneur. So.
Yeah, and at that time, there weren't really that many groups signed to Motown. He was just starting off. He had a handful of people. I know.
He had a handful of people, but... We didn't go to him first. We went to a record company that had the Falcons. It was a record company also in Detroit, so we went there first and auditioned for the Falcons manager.
Gotcha.
He said he liked the song we had, but he didn't want the group per se. You know, he wouldn't want the song. So I told him that we couldn't have the song. You know, without
right.
the group. So,
you bet.
We left there. But on the way in, I noticed on the door it had Flick. And Contour Recording Company.
Uh-huh.
The name Contour just mesmerized me. Something about that name. I said, I like that name. So
right.
On the way out, we left. We were walking down Wilbert Avenue, which was about 2 miles from Motown.
Right.
But we were walking, no one had no car then. So we walked down Woodward Avenue. I said, man, let's change the name from the Blenders to something else. So I said, okay. I said, but I don't want to be, I don't want no birds. I don't want.
No cars, no birds.
Yeah, you got the flamingos,
right.
You got the penguins,
the Cadillacs.
The cabins, and you got the Cadillacs and all them. I don't want nothing like that.
Right.
So everybody said, okay, we'll get a different name. So it was five of us, and we wrote down five, of course, five different names to put them in the hat. There were some names picked, and I don't know who picked the name Contour out the hat. They said, I got the Contour. Well, who wrote that? I said, I did. I said, what's the Contour? So I really didn't know what Contour was. So
right.
I had to come up with something like that right quick. I said, oh, I say, that means a straight line. I said, that means we're going straight to the top.
I gotcha. Okay, cool.
But it's okay, we're the Contours, so that's how we became the Contours.
Because if you picked the wrong name, you guys could have been Jane the Americans.
That's right, could have been anybody.
Right.
That name, the Contours, they liked it, so, and I told a lie, I didn't know what it meant. I said, it means it's a straight line, it means straight to the top, which we're going, so they bid on that, and that's what became the Contours.
Gotcha. So, here it is, it's around 1960. I know that you guys auditioned for Berry Gordy. 100 times I've heard the story about how the Contours signed with Motown, but now, for real, I want to get it right from the source. I want to know exactly what happened and how you guys actually signed that contract, because I heard that the first time that you walked in that Berry said, I don't know, I'm not sure.
That's true.
So
we went down to Motown and knocked on a door, and they said, come in, of course. And we walked in, and there was Janie Bradford, and who was a receptionist at Motown, and there was Berry Gordy sitting at a desk.
So you didn't have an appointment. You guys just, like, walked down the street and says, we're going to pay him a visit.
You didn't need an appointment.
There you go. I see.
That's what made Motown so unique. You just could come down. You didn't need no appointment. So,
very cool.
So we came in, you know, and we told them, we're the Contours, you know, and we want a recording contract. He said, you want what? So we want a recording contract. He said, let me hear you sing something. So, okay, so 3 songs for Bear, you know. And he said,
do you remember what you sang?
Yeah, we sang a whole lot of Woman.
Right.
Come On, Be Mine.
Right.
And I can't think of the name of the third song. Move, Mr. Man. Move, Mr. Man. Uh-huh. Was Move, Mr. Man.
Right.
And he said, no, he said, you know, you guys don't sound quite what I want, you know. I said,
right.
Come back about 6 months, you know. I said, you work hard now. Come back about 6 months and we listen to you again.
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, man, come on, man. So we got up and we walked out. We were all, you know, downhearted. So
yeah.
Janie Bradford followed us out the door. She said, you guys sound okay. She said, don't wait no 6 months. You know, just keep rehearsing and come back soon. So,
right,
so,
right, right.
So we walked down the street. Hubert Johnson, our bass singer, said, I got an idea. We can go see my cousin. So I say, your cousin? And they say, yeah, my cousin. So what? Who is your cousin? What do he do? He said, he sings. So who is he? Say, Jackie Wilson. Boy, we laughed. We say, man.
Get out.
Jackie Wilson ain't your cousin. Huh? Jackie Wilson, man.
What did they say now? They say,
you've been with us all this time, over a year, and all of a sudden, Jack Wilson, your cousin, you never mentioned that before. You
and
know?
You said what they say now on TV. You said, shut the front door.
That's what I said.
Shut the front door.
you know, right. That's not your cousin, man. So everybody say, man, why you tell that lie for us? So he said, he's my cousin for real. So we said, okay, well, how are we going to get to you? He said, I'm going to go call him. So, you know, back then in those days, they had telephone booths on the corners, remember?
Exactly right, I remember.
So he went and it cost a nickel back then. Too.
Right.
And he called Jackie's house, and evidently Jackie told him, come on, he said, come over. So now, I said, man, how are we going to get over there? You know, he said, I'm going to get my mother's car. So I said, we'll wait here. So we waited because we was about 5 blocks from his house.
Right.
And we were still on the boulevard where the studio was about, you know, it was about 5 blocks. So he walked home and he got the car and he came back. So we all hopped in the car and went over to Jackie's house. We pulled in front of the house, got the car, and I was in the front seat. So I got out first, you know, and he said, that's the house right there. So I'm walking towards the house, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he said, no, you got to go around to the back door.
Uh-huh.
I said, man, why we got to go out to the back door? It's the same down south. What do you mean to the back door?
Right.
Why we got to the back door? My auntie, I said, oh, here we go. Okay.
Here we go.
I went to the back door, and he walked in. So we knew he had somebody to walk in the house, so we walked in behind him, you know.
Right.
They said, Hubert, how you doing? They grabbed Hubert and hugged Hubert. So he said, he must be for real. He must know these people. They must really be kin. So he said, come on in the house. He said, Jack. Sonny's here. So I said, who is Sonny? He said, that's what they call Jackie. I said, oh, okay. So they have a seat. So we met Jackie's mother, so we went in the living room and sat down. So about 3 minutes, Jackie came downstairs. He said, hey, Hubert. They hugged each other. Said, oh, man, he really is kin to Jackie. So
I'm impressed, and I wasn't even there.
We met Jackie, you know, and said, wow, Jackie, that's, you know. So he said, whatever, come on upstairs, guys. So went upstairs, you know. He said, what's happening, Hubert? He said, he told him about we had been down to Motown, you
right.
know, and blah, 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 sung the song, and Barry didn't like it. He said, let me hear what you sang.
Right.
So we sung the songs for him that we sung for Barry. He told you a song.
Right.
It sounded real good, man. He said, go back downstairs and make a couple phone calls.
Wow.
Okay, so we went downstairs. Oh, man, Jackie going to make some phone calls about us, you know. So we sit there, man, about 20 minutes. I said, man, this cat ain't coming back downstairs. And I said, let's go, man. We sitting down like fools, waiting to come back downstairs. He said, no, he's coming. I said, man, I'm going to wait 5 moments and I'm leaving. Man, I don't want to hear this man waiting here for this cat to come down. So just about that time, he came down the stairs. He said, come on back upstairs.
Wow.
So we all went back upstairs. He said, okay, now, I just got to talking to Barry. He said, Barry who? Said, Barry Gordy.
Yeah.
And we had went down and we told him, said, I know what you told him. Say, go back down. He want to hear you guys again. Go back down there.
Wow.
We said, oh, man, so we said, okay, man, so we ran out the house, you know, and jumped in the car and went through a couple of red lights, getting to the boulevard.
Same day, same time, same day, wow.
A couple hours later, so we put in front of the studio, and we got out the car, you know, we walked real cool, like, we know, like, nothing excited us, you know, like, we was cool. We
right.
walked real cool, knocked on the door this time, and said, come on in, we walked on in, said, Jackie told us to come back down, and said, I know, let me hear those songs, so same three songs. We sung the same three songs. So oh, those that sound pretty good, man. So okay, tell what do, come back tomorrow and go next door upstairs to Esther. That's his sister, Esther Gordon. Go upstairs
right.
to Esther, and we're going to give you guys a recording contract.
You
say what? He said yeah. So we left, man. We were so happy, man. We was just happy because you know he had just wrote that song. You better stop dogging me around for Jackie because he did a lot of hit, wrote a lot of songs.
Right.
Whoops, that's how him and Jackie became real, real tight. Plus. We found later that him and Jack used to be boxers, and they boxed together in the Golden.
Right, yeah, I heard that. Yeah,
yeah. So they were real, real good friends. So and by Hubert being his cousin, Jackie's cousin, that's what got us in the door.
That's probably one of the greatest rock and roll stories around. When you write the book, that's got to be a whole chapter.
Right, and that's when it finally hit me then. I realized, and I say, sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what got us right in. So we became a part of Motown family. And when we got there, Barry Gordy had Marv Johnson. Of course, Marv Johnson was not on a Motown label. He was on, I believe it was Mercury's. No, he was on a United Artists. He was on
right.
United Artists label.
Right.
And he had Mary Wells.
Right.
He had the Miracles.
Right.
He had a group called the Satin Tones.
Okay.
And then the third male group was the Contours.
Gotcha. Now, your first release was Whole Lotta Woman.
Whole Lotta Woman on the back of it was Come On and Be Mine, the one that the Falcons and Manager wanted. Come On and Be Mine. That's the
right.
song he wanted.
And that was actually on Motown or was on this other label?
Motown. We were first signed. Barry only had
gotcha.
Two labels in Motown and Tamla.
Gotcha.
And we were on Motown.
Gotcha.
You're my baby with a pretty eye, with a pretty face and a pretty size. And you're so nice, and you're so sweet, and you're sweeping me right over my feet. It's you I care for, it's you I adore. I can't keep the wind, don't even think. You got me tossing, tossing at night. I just wanna hold you tight. You could be short. And you could be tall. It really wouldn't matter at all. You look good to me from your head to toe. And each day I love you more and more. And every time I see you, I wish I could. I'd take you and keep you and love you good. And put my loving arms around you, hey, so you could be beside me. To lead me and guide me. To lead me and guide me. Oh yeah, oh little girl, you're telling you true. I can't do without you, my baby.
My baby.
You got to be my rock,
my baby.
Oh, my soul,
my baby.
Say, oh, daddy, daddy, daddy,
my baby.
And won't you love me some more?
My baby.
You know a whole lot of woman.
My baby.
You know a whole lot of woman.
My baby.
Hey, I said every time I see you, I wish I could. I'd take you and keep you and love you good. And put my loving arms around you. Hey, so you could be beside me to lead me and guide me. To lead me and guide me. Whoa, yeah. Whoa, little girl, for telling you truth, I can't do without you. Oh, my baby.
My baby. Got to kiss me in the morning.
My baby.
Late at night.
My baby.
Say, oh, daddy, daddy, daddy.
My baby.
Won't you hold me tight?
My
baby. Use a whole lot of woman.
My baby.
Use a whole lot of woman. Use a whole lot of woman. Hey, hey. I say, oh, baby, baby, oh, baby, 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 baby.
Hi, this is Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and you're listening to my friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show, and we just have so much fun, my baby love, me and Mike Miller. Woo!
Whoa, whoa! Come on and be mine until the end of time. Well, you know you love me so much. Yeah, yeah, tremble at my touch. Well, that's why I'm telling you I'll never, I'll never, 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 never let you go. Yeah, but you are the only one. The only one can satisfy. Well, must I repeat myself again? Yeah, yeah, but I'm sure you understand. Well, that's why I'm telling you I'll never, I'll never, 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 never let you go. Oh, you are the only one. The only one for me and pretty baby. You are my desire. Baby, give me one more try to make our love grow. Wanna make sure you know. Well, if I could hold your hand, yeah, yeah, would I be your loving man? Well, that's why I'm telling you I'll never, 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 never let you go. Well, you are the only one. Only one for me and pretty baby. You are my desire. You are the only one. No one else can satisfy me. Baby, give me one more try to make our love grow. Wanna make sure you know. Well, if I could hold your hand, yeah, yeah, I'll be your loving man. I'm telling you I'll never, I'll never, 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 never let you go. Whoa, whoa, yeah, 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 yeah. Whoa, pretty baby, yeah, yeah. Come on and be mine.
Well, you know, I'm very friendly, you know, with the girls that were in the Vels. And, you know, they tell me a lot of stories from the old days and whatever. And I didn't realize how many tunes they were on, how much backup stuff they did. Just Roz and Annette, just the two of them. I mean, before they even got with Martha, you know, they were on so many records because, you know, Berry Gordy used the heck out of them, you know, in the studio. I mean, great stuff. And, you know, and they have only wonderful things to say about you.
Nice.
Like, oh, sure. You know, like during their interview, they talked about Joe Billingsley quite a bit. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. Well, it's been said, Joe, that the Contours were possibly the bad boys of Motown. I've heard a few stories. Actually, here's Roz and Annette from the Marvelettes to tell us one of those stories. Let's sit back and listen.
They had a little routine, and when it comes to the, talking about they do the mashed potato, he always did the one-foot mashed potato. He never said did the mashed potato like the rest of the group, but he always, and to this day, I think he still does that one-foot mashed potato.
So Barry Gordy got up and he said, okay, everybody, have a good trip and honor Motown and blah, blah, blah. He said, but the last thing I'm going to tell you before you leave here, especially you women, don't mess with those contours because they ain't nothing but hoodlums and troublemakers and bad boys. Leave them alone. Please don't bother with the contours.
We were on the Motown Review in 62 in the South. And we had a chance to stay over one night. And some of the guys were kind of like close to some of the girls. The girls were liking the guys were liking the girls. But
I know during that tour, we had done something. The group, we had got caught somewhere we were supposed to be, you know, at the hotel where we were staying at. We were caught in one of the artist's room. The contours, along with one of the miracles, was caught in the room and with all the girls.
So one time we got caught in the Marvelettes room, and it was time to go, and Beans Bowes came up there, who was one of the, played baritone sax here at Motown, and said, come on, who's in there?
They didn't stay away. And we didn't get them in trouble, they got themselves in trouble.
They got caught, and I understand when we heard the next day that one of them was trying to go out the window.
The window.
I think Joe was trying to go out. Joe was trying to go out
the window.
He
was hiding up under the bed and in the closets and everywhere. But when they checked the Vandellas room, we were in our room where we were supposed to have been without the guys.
So next day, we were on the bus headed to Miami. I won't forget this, to Miami, Florida. And Miss Edwards said, Barry Gordy's coming to the meeting. We got a special meeting. So, oh, wow, Barry coming to the meeting. Oh, that's cool. We hadn't seen him in almost 2 months. So the meeting was at 2 o'clock, I believe it was. Anyway, we got down to the meeting. Everyone was there. And all of a sudden, Barry come in and said, hey, Barry Gordy. And the first thing he said, I told you girls to stay away from the contours. Leave them alone. And now the word's out that all you girls are fooled the contours. And that was, we were the bad boys. What did he really expect? And there'll never be another bad boy. And there'll never be another bad group like the Contours.
Okay, comes A Whole Lot of Woman. And then the group is moving along. And I guess you guys, you said, hey, you know, we're in. We're going to be big stars and whatever. And then I guess the group went through a couple of personal changes, which all groups do.
Yeah, what happened is, we, you know, started doing work around Detroit area, you know, doing A Whole Lot of Woman, because that was a record, which, you know, along with other songs.
Right.
Our group, we did our own routines together. Billy Gordon was our main routine guy. He was the lead singer. He's our main routine guy. And Hubert Johnson was the one that taught us the splits, and then I knew how to do flips and stuff, so I taught the group flips, so we became an acrobatic group that sung and did a lot of dance routines.
Most people don't realize that the Contours probably danced better than any group that was out during that time. I mean, you know, the Flamingos at the beginning had a great reputation for dance steps and everything, but anybody who didn't see the Contours when they were in their prime as far as dance moves, you know, like they say, their feet never touched the ground. Their feet never touched the ground, and they sang at the same time. If you watch some of those old videos, you know, and you were there to see it live, it was just a great dance act. Just in addition to the singing, because a lot of people just remember them on record, and they weren't there to see the dance steps.
Yeah, that's what we were really, really. I'm proud to say we were really known for more was our dancing, our choreography. You know,
right.
And, that was our mainstay. And Leroy Fair, he just couldn't keep up with the dancing part. He just couldn't keep up. So we had to replace him, and so we replaced Leroy. That was the first guy, original member, left the group. We replaced Leroy,
And we went back to the studio. We downstairs and we was telling people that we was looking for a baritone singer, you know.
Right.
And Martha Reeves, who was working at Motown, and she was a receptionist. She said,
"Right, I know." They told me she started out by answering the phones.
She was a receptionist, right?
Right.
She was, yep. And she said that I told her that her brother Benny could sing. So I said, "Oh, you can?" He said, "Yes." Okay, give me your phone number. So she gave me her phone number. I called Benny. I talked to Benny. I told him, invited him over to my house for rehearsal, audition, and so forth. When he came over, and he fit. He sung baritone. And he could lead, and he sung second and first tenor.
Right.
Okay, he sounded good, so we put him in a group. But we lost him 3 weeks later because he had already enlisted in the Navy, and they called him, so he had to leave and go to the Navy. So,
wow.
So then he left. So now we were back again with missing a man. So
right.
Billy Gordon knew a guy named who we grew up with on the east side of Detroit named Sylvester Potts.
Gotcha.
So. He called Sylvester Potts, and Sylvester Potts came over the next day, and we auditioned Sylvester Potts, and he fitted with the group. His voice fitted. He was a tenor, so we used him as a tenor, and he fitted with the group. And kind of when he got there, and he was auditioning, and then my wife come in and said, "Oh, hi, how you doing?" She said, "How you doing?" I say, "Hey, how he doing? How you doing? What's happening here?"
Right.
And kind of found that they went to high school together.
Oh, no kidding! Wow.
With the high school, so now he already automatically gonna be in the group now because he knows my wife and she likes him. They're friends.
Gotcha.
So
okay, cool.
Went to school with Billy Gordon. They're friends. He can sing also. So he comes in. So we put Sylvester in group. Then another thing what makes Sylvester such a click with the group. His wife, his first wife Peggy, and my wife, they were born the same day, the same year. So that also clicked with Sylvester.
It all helps.
And Sylvester had a son who was a daughter rather who was. Sorry, yeah, his daughter was born November the 9th, and my son, I had a son was born November the 10th, and I had a daughter was born November the 12th, and wow. I was born November the 14th, so another star in Sylvester had was too limited.
That was a hell of a winter.
that goes again to show you, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
No, so. I know, yeah, I know. I believe in all of that stuff, man. When you get all the energy going in the right direction, it works.
Yeah. So after that, after we put him in a group, we cut another song on Motown, and it didn't do any good. So then,
right.
Gordy had a new label.
Well, was this the Stretch? Which one was that? That's, the tune?
The new label was Gordy.
Right.
We were the first act signed to Gordy label, and Stretch was on Gordy.
Gotcha. Stretch was on the Gordy
right
label.
Why?
And it did pretty good for us.
Right.
It did pretty good for us. So, again, we were doing a record hop. So, we did a record hop. And we had came, it was on a Sunday. And we left the record hop. We came by the studio. Because, like I said, everyone tells you, Motown never closed its doors. So, we went down the studio and we went in. And Barry was down in Studio A on the piano. We said, "How you doing, Barry?" Say, "Hey, how you guys doing?"
Right.
And we went upstairs and we just were up there fooling around rehearsing, you know, rehearsing songs and stuff.
Right.
So, he came upstairs and he said, "Hey, you guys seen the Temptations?" Said, "No, we haven't seen the Temptations. No, we haven't saw them." So, okay. So he went back downstairs and we kept rehearsing. So he came back up and he said, "Hey, you guys, come down here a minute." So he came downstairs to the studio. He said, "I wrote a song." Said, "I want you guys to listen to the song I wrote, you know." So he played the song. He sung a song that Barry can't sing.
Right.
He sung the song, you know, but he said, "How you like that song?" The guy said, "It's okay." I said, "I don't like it." He said, "You don't like it?" I said, "No." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because it sounds like Twist and Shout." He said,
gotcha.
"Twist and Shout." I said, "Yeah. Shake it up, baby. Do
right.
you love me?"
Right.
That's Twist and Shout. He
right.
said, "Okay." He said, I want you guys to try the song. So he said, "I want you to lead the song, Billy Gordon." So Billy Gordon sung the song, you know. And Barry said, I don't like that. He said, "Try it again." So he sung the song again. He said, I don't like the way you're leading the song, man." He said, that's okay, sir. I just wait tomorrow and I find a temptation. I said, wait a minute. We'll try the song again. You know, we don't want you to hear this song, The Temptation. We'll try it again. So we sung the song again, and we sung the song the way he liked the song to be sung. So he said, "That's the way I want you to sing. That's the way I want the song sung." So, okay, so I said, "You're not going to give the temptation? No, it's your song now." We say, "Cool." So that's how Do You Love Me came.
Well, you guys were probably...
Song for The Temptations. He did not. He wrote it for The Contours. And even today, Otis Williams will say that it was their song. They were in church. That's why they didn't get sung, because they had went to church. I said, "Well, I'm glad you went to church. It all helped us, you know." And
yep.
Then as I got older, I used to always think, and I mentioned to Barry, and he just looked at me and smiled. I said, "Barry," I said, "you know what?" I said, "You didn't write that song for The Temptation." I said, "You wrote that song for The Contours." I said, "Because there's no way David Ruffin was not with the group." I said, "There's no way that The Temptation could have sung Do You Love Me?"
Right.
You know, like we sung Do You Love
right.
Me? I said, you told us that you was going to give that song to Temps to make us sing the song right. Is
right.
that right? He just looked at me and smiled, you know, so I know that. He wrote the song for The Contours.
Because basically, it still would have sounded like a ballad, you know?
It would have.
Now, do you guys remember the day that you recorded that? Can you think back and remember that day when you went in and recorded that song?
It was March, April, May, June. It was in June of 62 we recorded it.
Wow.
And that day had been out 2 weeks, and it made the charts in 2 weeks.
Who were the musicians on that? Was that Funk Brothers or
Funk Brothers?
No
Funk
kidding.
Brothers, along with our guitar player Huey Davis.
Wow, unbelievable!
And
so
and one of the other that was played by Joe Mancino, who's a fabulous guitar player, a well known guitar player.
You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down.
Do you love me?
Thank you.
did you know what you had when you walked out of there? Did you say, "Hey, man, we nailed it"? Or did you
just? What happened? This is what happened back then. Back then, you didn't lay down a track. The musicians were
live
along with you. You
song
right there. You know, right then. You know, the whole complete thing. And then what they would
right.
do, like we might have on that particular song. I don't know for sure. We might have did 10 takes. When you cut a song, you're satisfied with it regardless of what tape. You're automatically satisfied because you know, back then you cut a record, you're satisfied with it. So
yep.
it really was up to the engineers
right.
to do it. And when we heard the song, after they mastered and everything, you know, and they did the song and they mastered and everything, and the part where it goes down and comes back up,
right.
that was new to us. We said, "What the hell? What happened to the song?" Then jump back up. Hey, so what is this? You know, and we found a guy named Sammy Mack. He
right.
was the engineer, and he was song with the Satin Tones, and he's the one that mastered that song. He said that he just got the idea to cut it down and bring it back up. He was fooling
right.
with the song, and he brought it back up, and that was the signature key to the.
Oh yeah, when you break it down and you build it back up, that's amazing.
It was his idea.
So here we are, Do You Love Me? And everybody who knows the Contours and everybody who loves the music knows what a fantastic tune that has been over the years. And it's part of Americana. I mean, that song has had so many lives already that it's just been amazing. But you guys did some fantastic recordings after that. And as I said before, there were so many tunes that actually should have been hits because they were as soulful as anybody.
I had a documentary. We had 16 hit records. We had and Do You Love Me was of course the biggest we ever had.
Right.
But we had 16 hit records. We had four records that was in the top 10.
Right.
In Cashboard and Billboard. So we had hit records. You know, most everything we did charted anyway.
Uh huh. No, I understand. tell me about the tune Shake Sherry.
Okay. Now. Shake Sherry also was written by Berry Gordy.
Right.
And I found out, I say, this song, I say, Shake Sherry, I say, Berry, I know where you got Shake Sherry from. And he told me, after I told him what I thought of the song, he told me that keep my ideas to myself, my opinions. Anyway, he did Shake Sherry, and Shake Sherry was written off of Sherry, Can You Come Out Tonight by the Four Seasons.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay, because I was going to ask, you know, who...
Because, see, Shake Sherry, like I say, Sherry, can you Sherry, baby?
Right.
By the Four Seasons,
right.
Can You Come Out Tonight? So
right.
Berry Gordy went further, and he said, okay, Shake Sherry, I'm going to have her shaking.
Huh.
Came out tonight, she came out, and I'm going to have her Shake Sherry Shake. So that's,
wow.
That's where he got the idea to write Shake Sherry off the Four Seasons song.
Shake Sherry, shake.
And then there was a tune, Can You Do It?
Right. Now, Shake Sherry also came, Shake Sherry reached number five in Cash Boxing. Now, Can You Do It was a song written for us by Richard Street.
Uh-huh.
Became a member of the Temptations.
Exactly. I know Richard, yep.
He took Paul Williams' spot in the Temptations.
Right.
And Richard Street also was the original member of the, I can say, Temptations, because he sung with them when they were The Distance. So, you know, anyway, he wrote Can You Do It for us, and it was a big hit for us, too.
1964, and we gon' dance some more. You gotta keep up with the times if you wanna be mine. So if you can do it, let me know.
Can You Jerk Like Me? That, I guess, was a little bit of a dance novelty type of a thing, but you were always in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Come on, children.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, can you do the jerk? Come on, this way. Move your shoulders up and down. Your feet don't leave the ground.
Oh,
all it takes is soul, and I.
You know? I often wondered, you'll answer this the way Joe Billingsley will answer it. The group was such a fantastic group, but it seemed in my eyes that Berry put a little more emphasis on some of the other groups, and had he put more emphasis in the Contours, they probably would have gone even farther than they went, but it just seems like you guys were so talented, it had so many great tunes that really didn't get much airplay, because as I've studied the Contours, I keep coming up with tunes where every one of them just knocks me out. And it's amazing, and I can think of a lot of groups during the 60s that were as good, but not too many that were better. So, you know, that's my feeling.
I'm not pinning flowers on myself.
Right.
I agree most highly. Now, with my group, our group, when Motown first started, of course, and got all these artists, the Temptations and everybody else there, then any of those artists, you know, we knew nothing about dance school and all that stuff, choreography school. We just made our own routines up at Contours. So,
right.
When Berry came up with the conception of teaching his artists how to dance, and he,
right.
You know, and he hired Charlie Atkins and all this stuff.
Right.
We went to dance school. We went over there, you know, and because everybody had to go over there, so we went over there, you know. And he said, let me see some of you guys' songs and hear some of your songs, some of your steps.
Right.
So we did about three or four songs, you know, and he said, I can't teach you guys nothing. Said,
wow.
I got young, so I can't teach you, but what I can teach you is I will teach you. And he taught us. He said, I'll teach you the proper way to enter the stage.
Gotcha.
The proper way to exit the stage. So
right.
He taught us the way to come on and the way to go off the stage. But as far as steps, he couldn't teach them. But he taught the Temptations and everybody else, the Temptations and the Temptation Walk. But the rest of their stuff, he taught them. Now, at first, to give Temptation their credit, before Charlie Atkins came, the Temptation step, everything was taught to them by Paul Williams of the Temptation. He taught them their steps. So,
right.
So that's how it was with the Contours. We didn't go to I call it finishing school. We didn't go to finishing school. Everybody else did.
Right, because Mary Wilson told me, she said they used to go to school all day. They learned how to walk. They learned how to talk. They learned how to dress. They learned how to be a lady. They learned how to dance. And it was like what they did with United Artists years ago with the movie stars. They were complete entertainers, everybody.
Right. You had to be. You had to be complete in it. Complete entertainment with Motown.
Oh, well, it was Motown. The other thing I heard from quite a few of the Motown artists that I've spoken to is that Berry was tough. He didn't like to be disagreed with. So, you know, like Mary said to me, and so did Roz and Annette, you know, when Berry walked in and said, this is the way I want it, it was like, you know, that was the way it is. And she said, you know, and then you would challenge him, and then he would whip out this piece of paper from his desk and he'd say, see this little bitty sentence down here that you signed? You know, the one that you almost can't read without your glasses? You know, that says that I get the right to say this is this and that's that. And yeah. I said, oh, yeah.
But with our group, getting back to back to what you had said previously about
right.
Songs and stuff, my group, we were an older group. We were all adults, you know.
Okay.
We were all over 21.
Right.
And I was the oldest guy in the group. I was 24 years old.
Right.
So we were all 24, 23, 22, and Hubert was the youngest. Hubert was 21.
Right.
So we were already young adults. We were already had our own mindset. So we were, a lot of times, we would say no to Motown. No, we're not doing this way. We're going to have to do it this way.
Right.
We're not doing this way,
right.
You know. And we were like defiant to them, you know.
Uh-huh.
So what happened, we always thought later on we were penalized for it, because they had what they called, it was a section they called quality control.
Okay.
But all the records were played, and they had this board. I forgot how many people were on this board. And they would say, okay, this song should come out, this song should not come out, blah, blah, blah. And then the final decision was made by a young lady named Billie Jean Brown.
Right.
She was in charge of quality control. And she had the final say, so what came up. But she didn't like the Contours, because we would always say, no, it's not going to be this way. We want it this way, you know. So
huh.
So a lot of our stuff didn't come out. A lot of stuff didn't get pushed the way it should have got pushed, you know.
Right.
But that's the way it was, you know, with Motown, you know. And a lot of people say that Berry Gordy was wrong. I said, but see, I like Berry Gordy for two reasons.
Right.
I think Berry Gordy was, he's a gentleman. He's always treated me and my group fair to me. And the one thing I will always be indebted to Berry Gordy, because if Berry Gordy hadn't accepted the Contours and give us break.
Right.
You guys would never be asking me for interviews, or the people, the fans would not applaud for me because they wouldn't know who I was. So
no, I understand.
But praise for Berry Gordy, you know, and I can say this also about Berry Gordy. When we got our first big royalty check from Do You Love Me?
Right.
First thing he told us, he brought us upstairs and gave each one of us our check and we said, "Wow, look at all this money!" You know,
wow.
This was a lot of money, you know, he asked me, what are you guys going to do with it, you know?
Uh-huh.
I said, I'm going to buy me a Cadillac car and blah, 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 blah. Everybody said what they was going to do. He said, Joe, why are you going to buy a Cadillac car? I said, because you got a Cadillac car. Buy me a Cadillac car.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, you shouldn't buy you a Cadillac car. You should buy you a Ford. I said, why should I buy me a Ford? He said, because if we bought you a Ford, you could get to the same place I get. It doesn't matter. I said, man, I got enough money right here to buy me two Cadillacs. So I'm going to buy me a Cadillac car. He said, well, you do what you want to do, it's your money. He said, but I advise all you guys to take your checks home, sit down with your wives,
right,
your mother, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And he said, I advise you to take some of this money, take this money, and put this money, you know, in the bank. I get you a checking account and a savings account, you know, do it that way, you
wow,
know.
So, smart.
So, and, you know, and he said, don't spend all your money. So what I did, I went and took the check home. My wife said she was, wow, all this money, you know, because she stuck by me, you know, back then. So
right,
we open up a joint checking account and a joint savings account, and then I went and opened up my own savings account with some part of money she didn't know I had.
All right.
then I bought that Cadillac car. And then the next couple of years, I didn't have no Cadillac car. And I remember Barry coming and say, Joe, where's your Cadillac? I said, I don't have no car no more. He said, I told you, don't buy no Cadillac car. And one thing he told me, say, because I made a big mistake. I said, I'm a star. He said, I don't like that. You saying you're a star. I said, I'm a star. Look at all this money I got.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, I'll always have a record company. He said, but you probably won't always be a star. You probably won't always have a hit record. Man, I never have another hit record, you know.
Right.
And I didn't take him to heed, you know, but that's the way it is. So I have no qualm with Barry. I have a lot of artists say, well, he did so and so and so. I say, yeah, okay, but you got your opinion. I've got my opinion, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? Being part of Motown and being on the road with those people and doing those shows, and when you're on stage and, you know, things, you know, there is no greater feeling in the world than being on stage and looking out into the audience and singing well and being appreciated. And people that haven't experienced it, you just can't explain it to them. So, I mean, that must have been some fabulous experience. And that was a lot of payment in itself, just being there and pinching yourself and saying, hey, man, look what I'm doing.
That's true. And you know what? A funny thing about it, you know, like in, this was in the 60s, 62. And then in 1988, when we did the Dirty Dancing concert tour.
Right.
And we went on the stage, you know, and to sing, you know, and we did Do You Love Me. I was spellbound because I looked out there. Here was people my age.
Right.
Well, I know they're from my generation. And then there's people, I can tell, they've got their grandkids with them. They've got their daughter and their kids with them. And I say, here's three generations that love my son, that loves me.
Right.
You know, and it was a weird feeling. And then when we found out how our song got chosen and everything, because the story is a true story. It's about a lady called, her name is Eleanor Bernstein.
Okay.
It's her life story. And we met her in New York doing a Dirty Dance concert tour when we were at the Radio City Music Hall performing. She told us how our song got picked, because when she took the script to Hollywood, she took the script and she met the producer, whoever she met, and produced her script and everything and the songs and stuff. And the guy said, fine, I like the concept. I like everything. So I like all the songs except one song I don't want in the movie. And it's Do You Love Me? I don't like the song.
Wow.
So she told the guy, this is what she told us. So she told the guy that he couldn't have the product unless he took that song, because that was her favorite song. So the guy said, okay. So the guy took the song. Now, in the movie, of course, they played Do You Love Me in the scene where Patrick Swayze was dancing in the barn. And
gotcha.
That's how that's what
well, you know, when you see the movie, and I've seen the movie 100 times, and also, you know, I spent summers at the Catskill, you know, in the Catskill Mountains with my parents and everything. So I know what that felt like. I know what that was. I know what that whole scene was, you know, with the social director and the families and the, you know, eating the food and doing the deal. So, you know, it hits home with an awful lot of people, as far as that's concerned. And to be connected with something as big as Dirty Dancing is, you know, one thing helps the other. I mean, it's just like, here you go, like you say, being in the right place at the right time, and it all works out great.
And then we were, before the tour started, we had to go up to Catskill Mountains for 3 weeks of rehearsal, and they put you on strict diets and all this stuff. I had never been through that regimen. I didn't go through that regimen in service. They put you on a strict diet and rehearsing and all this, you know, but it was good to do. The morning that the tour actually started on the road, we came out, and it just floored me, man. We came out, and there was 7 tour buses out there, and all of them, they were these hand-painted tour buses, you know, and one for Bill Medley and Eric Carmen and Mary Clayton, the dancers.
Wow.
And then they had one for the con, too, and I said, wow, look at this, you know, and, you know, I was dumbfounded, you know.
That's...
And then, like, when we first did the tour, man, the tour was only supposed to be, but 30 days, and it wound up a 9-month tour.
Unbelievable, because, you know, let's say that the tune had its first go-around, you know, and it became a hit, and everybody went out and bought it, and then the movie comes out.
Mm-hmm.
My one question that I wanted to ask you was this. So did Jennifer Grey ever invite you guys over for dinner, or no?
No. We met Patrick Swayze, and we were under the impression, after talking with him, that it was going to be a Dirty Dancing sequel, or, you know, another Dirty Dancing movie. But
right.
Then we found out before the tour was over that he had changed his mind because his agents told him that he would be locked into a teenage idol, and he wanted to do, you know, more different
right.
type movies. So that's why it wasn't another Dirty Dancing 2 with Patrick Swayze.
Well, you never...
I'm hearing now that they're talking about doing another Dirty Dancing, so I hope they contact us, because I understand they're going. It's going to be set in the same setting, like, and they're going to have more songs from that era playing along with some of the songs from the first soundtrack.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, Do You Love Me is going to have to be on that soundtrack, because I don't see how they can make a movie like that without the tune. one of the tunes that really intrigues me is First I Look at the Purse.
The dollar bills are crisp. can be sweet as honey.
First time look at the person.
But I need me a little money.
First time look at the person.
She can be covered with a rag.
First time look at the person.
No, she got look.
First time look at the person.
Written by Smokey Robinson.
The Day When She Needed Me. That's a very interesting tune.
Written by Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, I really love that tune. That's a great tune.
She told me she was all alone.
What did you do?
Got a ticket on the ferry next train.
Going where?
Going home so I could explain why I was a thousand miles away that day when she needed me. I finally got home.
What did you do?
Try to follow her every chop.
How come?
I had to try to get my baby back because I was a thousand miles away that day when she needed me. Fellas, let me tell you.
Right.
Now, we had three or four nice ballots, and Barry didn't want them song released. He said he didn't want the contours filing into that type of music. He wanted to keep us that up-tempo group, so
right.
All our songs had to be up-tempo.
It's the golden rule. You know the golden rule?
What is it?
He who has the gold makes the rules. That's the golden rule. I found that out when I moved to Florida. Yeah, but you know what? I talk a lot to Speedo, and you know, and I said to him one time, you know, you guys, you were pretty famous, the Cadillacs, for their up-tempo stuff, but man, they had a lot of great ballads. Now, I haven't spoken to him in about a month or two. I know he's not feeling that well, but you know, every once in a while, I'll touch base with the family. But I don't think he's been working lately.
I haven't seen Speedo in years. I don't really know.
I saw him in Boca last year, but I understand he's not feeling too well right now, so he hasn't done a show in a little bit.
But Boca Raton, okay.
Yeah, you know, he came down here. He still lives in the same place in New York City that he's lived for years. Absolutely. Just a Little Misunderstanding is another great tune.
Yeah, Levi's brother, Joe Stubbs, is singing the lead on that song. He replaced Billy Gordon in the group then, so that's him leading A Little Misunderstanding.
Crying. We all
Now, around 1968...
That song, you know that song was written by, don't you?
No, I don't.
Stevie Wonder.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Okay, no wonder it's a great tune.
Stevie wrote that.
Yeah, no wonder it's a great tune. Now, Joe Billingsley and a couple of the other guys, I think, left Motown. What was that all about, if you wish to share with me?
The original the contours, I call the Do You Love Me contours, which consist of Billy Gordon, myself, Billy Hawks, Hubert Johnson, and Sylvester Potts.
Right.
We broke up in 1964.
Gotcha.
We left in 60, and the reason was because we were out on the road. We were down in Virginia, I think it was Virginia, Carolina, somewhere, and we did the show for Cornell Blakely.
Uh-huh.
The show was over, and he asked us, "Well, I got a couple more dates, and as a matter of fact, in Florida, that's where it was." He said, "Can you guys do it?" I said, I'm quite sure we can do it. I said, but I got to call the company to find out. So I called the company, and I talked to Beans Bowles, and I told him what the deal was and everything. And he said, "Sure, you guys don't have nothing coming up in another 3-4 weeks, so you can go ahead and do it." So
right.
We said, fine. So we went back out and told him we can do it. We was all around the pool the next day, sitting around the pool, laughing and talking. We were leaving out that night, going to Florida. And, the guy came out to the pool and said, "Who is Joe?" I said, "I'm Joe." He said, "He got a telephone call." So I said, "Okay." I came in with Miss Edwards. She said that we had to come back home because we had a record hop. I said, "A record hop?
Huh.
Go do a live, makes more money. Why we got to come do a record hop? We don't have no record hop. The only record we had then was Can You Do It? And it had been out 3 months, so it wasn't a new record. Why we got to come do a record hop?" She said,
"Right.
I want you guys home. So once the company say something, you have to do it." So
I understand.
On the way back, we got together. We said, we're all going in. We're going to tell them that we're going to have to do this or do that, or we're going to quit, blah, blah. Everybody was airtight on what we were going to do.
You guys were tough.
So, yeah. So we came in, and I dropped everybody off at the house, at their homes, and I went home. My wife said, Motown called and said, "You can pick the guys up and come right back down to the studio." So, oh, man, cause we had made an appointment to see Barry the next day. So I said, "Oh, wow." So I got to go pick all these guys. So Billy Gordon stayed about 4 blocks from me. So I went to his house first, and he wasn't home. So George Ann, who was his wife, who was a member of the Marvelettes, she said he was down to the studio. I said, "Okay." So I went and picked everybody else up and went down to the studio. When we got down there, Billy Gordon was sitting on the porch. He said, "Barry want to see us." I said, "Okay." So we all went upstairs to see what Barry wanted. So we walked in his office, you know, and we noticed that he treated us. It was kind of different, you know. So we all sat down and said, "I understand some of you guys got together and you were planning on quitting the group, you know." He said, "So I want to know what's happening." So he said, "Joe, you're a spokesman. What's going to happen?" I said, "Look, I plan on quitting the group because if so-and-so and so-and-so will happen, I'm going to quit the group." He said, "Okay." So he asked Sylvester. Sylvester, "I'm planning on quitting the group. If so-and-so will happen, I'll quit the group." He said, "Okay." So he asked Billy Hawks. Now, Billy Hawks told me, "Well, I'm planning on quitting the group in December because I'm a
I'm going to be a minister, and I'm not going to be able to sing anymore.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So then he asked Hubert Johnson. Now, Hubert was always type. He was always the type of guy, man, that all Hubert really wanted to do was sing. We knew that. He was all I want to do is sing, man.
Right.
That Billy Gordon, this is what tripped us out. We found that Billy Gordon was the Judas in the camp.
Ah.
He said, Barry, you've been real good to me, man. Real good to the groups, and I ain't gonna quit. I'm gonna stay. I'm not gonna quit.
Oh, man.
So Barry said, okay. Said, I've got the lead singer whose voice is on the record. I've got the bass singer whose voice is dominant on the record. So the rest of you guys, I can put three more guys behind these guys. So the rest of you guys can we'll release you from your contracts. So that's what happened. So we found out. A couple of days we came down to get our release our contract. We found out that Barry Gordy's a bodyguard. He said, man, what happened? So we told him, Barry told me, all you guys had to do was stick together. He said he would have been forced to give you guys almost anything you want because you were still that hot. I knew this. But Billy Gordon, he the one that was the Judas in the camp. So that's what happened to the group.
I see. So, he just let the air out of it. Out of the whole situation.
Yeah. Then Billy got to handpick his people to come back in the group. Then.
Yeah, I got you. But afterwards, now
he had to leave because he got strung out on drugs. He had to leave, So that's what happened.
I know that Joe Billingsley, just went in a totally different direction. Now you worked for Chrysler for a while, correct?
Yep. Yeah, I was a chief steward in the union, UAW union.
Which is a big deal, man. That not everybody can do that. And then you joined the sheriff's office.
Hey, Joe Wayne County Sheriff's Department, yes.
Yep.
Then I left there and went and joined Detroit Police Department.
Wow. So you were sergeant in the Department of Corrections in Detroit, right?
Yep.
That's fantastic. I got to call you Officer Billingsley now when I see you. Well, that's a totally different way to go. That must have been a great experience, too.
It was.
A great life experience.
After I gave all that up and came back to singing again, there was only two jobs that I really, really, truly enjoyed doing, and that was law enforcement and singing.
Right.
And in the order, it had been it's singing and then law enforcement. There was only two jobs out there I really enjoyed doing. And the job I had at Chrysler, I've been fortunate. I've never had a hard job. I've always had an easy job. Like I said, I was at Chrysler when I was in the UAW. I was a chief steward, so I handled grievances for other people. So I've never had a hard job.
Wow, that's fantastic. I mean, you talk about people that are musical that do different things. I was a dean in a very tough New York City school, believe it or not, in the Bronx for like 30 years. And then I was out singing at night and recording and doing my thing. But, doing the school thing, I mean, you know what that's all about. And, dealing with kids, I'm retired about 10 years now after 30 years, and it's not the same anymore. The job just gets tougher and tougher.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
was tough when I was there. I don't have to tell you how it was in the Bronx. It was tough.
There's two jobs, and I'm serious about this. There's two jobs that I would, if I was younger, say in my 20s, early, middle 20s, late 30s, there's two jobs that I would not take now. And the first would be a school teacher.
Right.
And the second would be a police officer. I would not take those.
Because there's no respect anymore, man. It's like, I would, the kids, even when I was there in those days, like during the 90s, the late 90s, I got out at around 2000.
Yeah.
But, they used to walk up to the cops, man, these kids, man, you ain't nothing. We used to take them to Rikers, to the Scared Stiff programs, and they would walk up to hardcore criminals, and they'd look the guy in the face and say, yo, man, you ain't nothing, man. You screwed up your life, man. Look at you. You're behind bars. And these the guys who were the Scared Stiff guys, they would just laugh at these kids. They say, you don't know what you're talking about, man. Because if we took any one of you guys and handcuffed you and threw you in here, you'd be crying like a baby.
That's for sure.
But on the outside, they're tough, man. These kids were all face, They were all tough.
Right.
And
the law has changed so much, to me, for the criminals, though, that's ridiculous.
Hey,
Joe,
let me tell you, too liberal for too long. I watched it for all those years. But that's another whole interview.
Understand.
It's another whole story, man. But it's, I guess at one point along the line, it needs to be said because, you know, we got to put the bar back where it was. And that's enough. About that, you know. So what made you go back to singing? You missed it.
I missed it. I really missed it, you know. And when I put the group back together, it was mainly, like I said, I was in law enforcement. So it was mainly just something to do extra on the weekend, you know. Then I got hooked again and people said, oh, man, why you don't take the group back out and blah, 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 you know. And people kept telling me, you guys are good again, blah, blah, blah. So I just got, I got hooked again. I got hooked again.
Right now, at this time, when you went back, by the time you went back, had Dirty Dancing come out yet, or this was before Dirty Dancing?
This was before. Right. I restarted the Contours back in 1979.
Gotcha. Okay, I just wanted to make sure of the dates. And then here comes the movie, and now all of a sudden we got a gold record that goes platinum.
Right.
I mean, right. Because you know, the second go around was even better than the first go around. Everybody was playing the tune, not just the one decade or the one genre, but you know, now you had everybody listening to the tune. The young folks, the old folks who remembered it the first time, it was great.
Uh huh. That's true. And a lot of times now, I've been a few places, you know, and people said, this is one of the Contours, you know, and they look at me, so okay, they said, you know the Contours? They'll say no. They say, you don't know the Contours? Say no. So you don't know his record? They'll say no. They say, yes, I heard it a lot. They say, yes, you do. They say, no, I don't. They say, do you love me? Say, oh, yeah, I heard that. That's his record. Oh,
right.
Man, blah, blah. See,
I know.
They know the record. The record, Do You Love Me, is still powerful.
Oh, absolutely, it's powerful. I mean, you know, can't get along without it. And of course, the Dirty Dancing tour that went everywhere. You know, that was a great idea. But you guys went all over the world with that.
Yeah, we went to. I believe it was. I had it wrote down. It's been so long. We went to. I believe it was 42. I think it was 42 cities.
Wow.
And went to 9 foreign countries with Dirty Dancing.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And did you bring your badge with you? Or by that time you had left the police department, I guess.
No, what happened is when I came back after December 88, I came back to work. I said, well, I know we got one more big show, and it's overseas. It's in Australia, and I really wanted to go to Australia.
Yeah.
So I went and asked for another leave absence. And they said, well, we can't give you another leave absence. You've been gone 9 months, you know. And how I got the 9 month deal pool, like I said, it was supposed to be 30 days. And after 30 days, they told me before the 30th, I think about the 25th, they told me, well, it's going to be out for 90 days to the 30 days. So now I have to call back to the department to get a extension. And just what happened with that, you know, we done got the extension and so forth. The deputy police chief and him and I went to school together.
See, there you go again. It's,
yeah,
it's who you know.
I had to go to the chain of command. I went to my sergeant. He said no. My supervisor. I went to the lieutenant. He said no. And I went to my commander. He said no. So then I went to the personnel officer, and he said no. So then I called my friend, who's the deputy commissioner, and told him what I wanted. And he said, okay, wait a minute. He said, I'll call you right back. So he called me right back. He said, I got you on three-way. I said, okay, because I had went down and saw a lieutenant in charge of personnel.
Right.
So he clicked over, he called, he said, Lieutenant, this is, he said, how you doing, sir? He said, oh, I'm okay. He said, do you know a guy named Joe Billy? He said, no, sir, I don't. He said, you know the Contours? He said, I heard the Contours. He said, well, Officer Beverly said, he's a police officer. He was in to see you about 3 hours ago, and he asked for a leave of absence to go do a show. And you told him he couldn't get it. So I think he deserved to leave of absence. He said, sir, he does deserve to leave of absence. No problem, sir. He can have it.
No, that's...
So I got the leave of absence. So then when I needed that 90 days, I called Jim. His name was Jim Ingram. I called Jim back again. I told him what I needed, so he said, okay, no problem. He hooked me up again. But then when I did that 9 months, and I wanted another month, he said, I can't do it, Joe. You know, it's too much pressure on me, and I can't do it. So I said, okay.
Yeah.
So now I still want to go overseas to Australia. I had a meeting with my wife and told her what I want to do.
Right.
Well, you're going to have to make that decision yourself, you know, however you want to do it. So
right.
What I did, I went down and I invested my pension.
Uh-huh.
I came out.
All right, so it was a big decision at that point. But you know what? Paulette and I that's one of the places on our list to go is Australia, because neither one of us have been, and I think, you know, eventually we're going to do that.
You love it, man. You love it.
Yeah, it's different. They say it's different. It's a long plane ride, but, you know.
It's a long plane ride, but once you get, you enjoy yourself.
We read the other day that we can get a discount if we want to go to Libya. So we figured. I'm just teasing.
I know more.
You know, well, you know, I'll tell you this. One by one, there's a lot of places now that you don't want to fly. I mean, you know, it's like you don't want to go here, you don't want to go there. It's, you know.
That's true.
You know, you read all these stories, you never know what's going on. But you know what? You know, we were in Spain. And let me tell you, man, they're big on their doo-wop in Spain. The UK is just like, I know Mary Wilson's going over there. I know the Bells are always there, going to the UK. And they have found this music, and they're embracing this music in a big way in the UK.
Everything we ever done in the UK has been well accepted. Everything that comes from the States to the UK, they just loved it, that music. They just eat that music up.
I know. It's great stuff. Well, you know, one thing about Joe Billingsley is that, and you did this when I was with you on the cruise, and by the way, if you haven't seen Joe Billingsley and the Contours live, man, they are so exciting that they can't be believed, because the group has a lot of impact. I mean, once you guys get rolling, it's great, and you got some great, great stories to tell. I mean, when you tell the story of the Contours, everybody's spellbound, and then bang, you go into the next tune. But one thing about Joe Billingsley is that you always pay homage to all the guys who have ever been with you over the years, regardless of whether it was a good day or a bad day or whatever. You always pay homage to every guy that put their energy into the Contours, and that's a fabulous thing, because you don't always hear that from members of groups.
Well, I feel like this, man, really, Mike, stop those guys, man. You know, I'm not a young spring chicken. I'll be 74 years old in November. So
I hear you.
Without these guys, but these guys make me want to, you know, I feel young around these guys, you know, and they listen to me. They don't, you know, I'm not a type of guy that'll browbeat them, you
right.
know. And I'll let them make their own decision. If it's wrong, I say, man, we're not going to go this way. You're going to have to do it this way. And they listen to me. So I've been blessed with all of the Contours. No matter who's been in the group and out of the group, I've been blessed with guys that was good.
The lineup now is fabulous. What's your favorite tune by the Contours? Do you have a favorite tune?
Oh, I really don't.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, you know, I would have thought you would say, yeah, I'm crazy about the hit because it paid for my Cadillac.
I like all of them, but I really not a favorite. Not I really don't have a. They all sound good to me.
No, and me too.
Do You Love Me has been the best for me. I like all of them. I really do.
No, I hear you. The Contours, now, it's been said by a lot of people that I've spoken to that Joe Billingsley is really a funny guy on tour, and you always keep it upbeat and you always keep it rolling. Are there any moments on tour over the years or anything that stands out in your mind that was a funny moment or a monumental moment that sticks in your head as far as, you know, your experience with the Contours all these years?
I know one that I liked really, really well. It was when, we were in Las Vegas on the Dirty Dancing tour.
Right.
And, I had, turned 50 years old and, Bill Melly had, you know, was a star of the show. Of course, he'd done his song, and right before he did Time of My Life, he said, "I did." He wanted to congratulate one of his friends, you know, whose birthday was today. I had no idea he was talking to me, you know.
Right.
His birthday was, you know, is today, you know, and he really enjoyed working with him, you know, and it's Joe Billingsley. And then he brought me on stage and they presented me with a cake. That's been one of my favorite times. And then my girl I'm staying with now, who I really love,
right?
She gave me a surprise birthday party when I turned 70.
Wow!
And it was a surprise because she had everybody there, you know. And it was a well kept secret. And how they got me down, I refused to go. They told me that we had to go down and sign some autographs and stuff. And I really knew. I said, man, I don't feel like going to sign no damn autographs. You know, I'm tired of signing autographs. I don't want
right.
to go. You know. And when you got to go, it was on a Sunday. I said, Sunday. I said, you know, and that's football season. You know,
right.
And, you know, it was a football time. You think I go down to some club to sign some autographs on. It was on Sunday. It was in November, you know.
Right.
The football game was coming on, you know. So
I said, I'm going for a few minutes. I'm going to sign this for a few. I'm not going to stay long. So I went down there, and I went in, and I saw the people in there, you know, and I saw my granddaughter, you know, and I had no idea, it never hit me, you know, so they, like, took me to my seat, you know, so all the way to my seat, they were saying, happy birthday, so I'm singing with them too, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Joe, when they say dear Joe, it dawned on me, they singing a song to me, and it was really beautiful.
Wow.
What else made it so beautiful? Bill Medley sent me a DVD of it.
Oh, no kidding, wow.
Wishing me happy birthday, and he had his daughter, and she said, happy birthday, Joe. I looked, and it was his daughter. That she was born on the tour.
That's amazing.
She was born in 88, and here she was saying happy birthday to me. That made me feel real, real, real special. Well, you know, and my girl set all this up.
Isn't that amazing? You know, about 20 years ago, I was on the radio in Poughkeepsie with Darlene Love.
Yeah.
And she actually had her son with her. And, you know, I met the son and whatever, and I said, well, you know, he's a really good-looking guy. She said he ought to be Bill Medley's father.
Okay.
And I just looked, and she said, it'll be in the book. The book's coming out, you know, yada, yada. And I looked, and I went, oh, man. And then I looked at her like, wow, is this, I guess I'm supposed to forget that. But she said, no, I'm going to write about it in the book. I said, you know, okay, wow.
Bill Medley's one hell of a nice guy, man.
Oh,
he's a real down-to-earth guy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, he's been through it all. Well, you know, all of you guys are going to be in rock and roll heaven. You know that.
Yeah. We'll be doing the flips and everything.
I mean, that's a fact. Tell me about Al Chisholm. Al had some great experience, too. And by the way, Al is dynamite on stage.
He sang with the Falcons. That's how we were looking for a lead singer, and our musical director, he's dead now, Johnny Kidd, he found Al Chisholm, and we auditioned Al Chisholm, and he fit right in. His voice was dynamic.
Oh, the man can sing. I mean, you know, I remember on the cruise, man, he was like working the audience and getting in there, and he gets in his own little world. I mean, all the guys are great in the group.
Yeah.
Al really, I had a lot of fun watching Al. He was a lot of fun.
He's a funny character.
Oh, yeah, he was cool, you know. But and then, of course, tell me about Odell. Odell I talk to all the time. How did Odell find his way into the Contours?
Odell was singing with a group called Sirius.
Uh-huh.
And we went down to a casino one night, and we saw the group, you know, and I was amazed at his voice. I said, wow, this guy can really sing, you know.
Right.
I approached his group and told him I enjoyed the show, which I did, and told Odell how much I enjoyed his voice.
Right.
And one day, you're going to be at the Contours. And he laughed, because, you know, he's with his own group. He laughed, okay. So anyway, when the time arrived and we had to have a bass singer, I contacted him and I contacted his group, the guy that ran the group. And I told him, I said, can I use Odell for a couple of songs?
Right.
He said, sure. So I used Odell a couple of songs, and then... People knows Odell, and they said, they started saying, oh, he won the Contours. Now, he won the Contours, so
uh-huh.
I didn't make it any better, you know. So we were at a club here, and they were taking pictures, and Odell, like, would try to hide. I said, why is he hiding for all these pictures? They were newspaper people that he was taking.
Right.
He was trying to hide. So what I did, I told Tyler, I said, when I go over by this guy, I say, snap the picture right away. So, okay, so I went over there by Odell. And the guy snapped the picture, and Odell was in the picture.
Amen.
So the next day, the leader of his group called Odell and told Odell he had saw his picture in the paper. So Odell called me, and I went and got a paper, and his picture was in the paper. And they said the newest member of the Contours.
So that was smart of you. And by the way, but you know, it's pretty hard to hide Odell, so he was going to be in the picture anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where was he going to hide?
Yep, so that's...
Behind who?
That's how he got in the group, and he's been a tremendous asset.
Oh, yeah, he's great, man. He's a very positive guy, very spiritual guy, too.
And he most definitely can sing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have a lot of fun talking to him, you know. Hey, Odell, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Great. I'm talking with Odell Jones from the Contours, and Odell... Why don't you tell us how you got involved with the Contours?
Well, actually, we were at Motor City Casino in Detroit. And, of course, the John Tewis was there also, you know, doing shows there every now and then, you know.
Right.
And they happened to see me on stage. And Joe says, well, hey, man, what, I like that bass, you know. Who is that? Who is that? And it kind of evolved like that, you know. And so Charles and I talked after we got off the, after the group Sirius.
Right.
I got off the stage. This was the group Sirius.
Right. Now, you sang with Sirius. Tell me a little bit about Sirius.
Yeah, Sirius. Sirius is a group that does the Four Tops. We do a tribute to the Temptations, Four Tops, and, you know, other groups, different other groups that we do. And
right, with a name like that, you'd have to be pretty good.
well, you know, I really enjoyed myself with the group. It's a fantastic group, you know.
Right.
A fantastic group, you know.
Right. Now they're still together
with that group.
Are they still together at this point?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, very cool.
Still at Motor City. They travel all around the world. Matter of fact, Ollie Woodson had came in. Ollie Woodson, former member of the Temptations. He had came in and looked us up, and we actually started traveling around with Ollie Woodson as his Temptation group.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fantastic, man, you know. God bless his soul, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Matter of fact, we was going to do a couple of things before he had passed, you know.
Right.
You know, Joe would allow me to do that, you know.
No, I understand. So here you are. And you're actually on the same show with the Contours, and Joe is scratching his head, and he's saying, wow, this guy has a great bass. You know, how do we approach this? So what happened from there?
After I got off the stage, this and that, you know, we kind of talked. I admire that group also, you know. I've always loved the Contours, you know.
Right, because we heard Joe's version of How You Get In. Now I want to hear your version.
Okay. Well, I hope it's somewhere near close, but you know, he might be a little bit moderate about it, you know. But that's the way we had done it, you know. I got off and got to talking with him and the group. Like I say, I admired the group also, you know.
Of course.
And Charles and I got kind of tight, you know.
Right.
So Charles Davis, we got kind of tight, and he invited me over. To his house, you know. So we got over there, and one thing led to this, another thing led to that, and we wind up doing some recording ourselves, you know.
Right, of course.
Yeah, we wind up doing some recording, and you know, we loved that. Matter of fact, we was doing it like every day.
That's almost as much fun as being out there and performing in front of people. You know, just being creative like that is a great feeling.
Oh yeah! Oh, it was fantastic, man. We had a wonderful time, even just doing that, you know.
Right.
So one thing led to that. I really actually got tired of the casinos because here in Detroit we was doing three shows. We were doing three shows a night.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, man! And it was, you know, it was mind boggling.
Yeah, and that's
really
probably five nights a week, no?
Well, sometimes we would work at least three times,
yeah,
times a week.
I know that feeling. And you can't talk in the morning, and then by the afternoon, you can sing like a bird.
I mean, we done it for years.
Right.
We done it for years, so I just kind of got tired of this repetitions, you know, just the same old same.
Right.
Old,
so
you know.
At this point, the Contours, they were actually looking for a bass.
Yes, yes, they was looking for a bass then, you know. Actually, Sylvester was out of the group at that time.
Right.
You know, he had done his thing.
Right.
You know.
Because finding a great bass, there are only really a great handful of bass singers in the genre, you know, and, you know, we can count them on our fingers. And it's not only a guy that can hit the notes, but hit them on key, because, you know, if your bass is off, the whole sound goes out the window. So your bass has to have great intonation in order to really cement the group. And there's a lot of guys that can sing, you know, those low notes, but they can't sing them on key. You're one of the guys that sings them on key and blows them away, because, you know, I was there and I heard you and I was on stage with you, and you're a dynamite guy. They're lucky to have you.
Well, thank you very much. I really
appreciate
it. We really enjoyed ourselves there with you.
Oh, yeah. You know, we had a lot of fun. But, you know, so you're getting tight with some of the guys from the group and everything else.
Well, the sound was fantastic, you know. I blended with them. You know, I blended with them. It was. You know, the sounds was
right. I hear you.
You know, it was like
you were always
marriage.
There. Yeah, I hear you. You know,
so they had media. I mean, it was media from everywhere that was there. And so Joe say, come on, go with me. You know, and I used to tease him all the time. I used to hide and stuff like that. I said, I don't want nobody taking pictures, because it'll mess around there and wind up in a paper or something.
He's sly as a fox, Joe, you know? You know, because what are you going to say? Once it comes out, it's like, what are you going to say? No, that didn't happen. Yeah, I was there.
Exactly. But they got the flash in the pictures and carrying on, and, you know, so, you know, my picture wound up in the paper. Right next to Levi, the Four Tops. Uh-huh. He was in the wheelchair at that time.
Yeah. Right,
and,
right.
Man, I got so many phone calls, you know. Oh, my goodness, man. You singing with the Contours now? And, you know.
Yep.
And I say, oh, man, congratulations,
very,
you know,
cool.
This and that, you know.
Well, you know, the show is dynamite. The group is just a fabulous group. And I know the group is going to go on for a long, long time. And
right.
You know.
Right.
So it's all good. So tell me how it feels to be singing with the Contours at this point, Odell.
Oh, I'm just so honored, Mike. You know how it was when you. You know yourself.
Yep.
Because you're a singer and entertainer yourself. You know. Have a wonderful voice yourself.
Well, I appreciate that.
You're on my site.
Right.
You know, but it is fantastic, man. These guys, they're funny. You know, they're great. The families is great. You
right.
know, all the wives is great, you know, that we travel with, you know, when they do get a chance to travel with us and stuff like that. We
right.
Just, it's a dream come true, to be honest about it, you know.
No, I can understand them. Because, you know, there's a lot of love out there.
I just appreciate what you had done, you know, for the group. You know, I mainly want to get Joe Billingsley on now.
Right,
know,
right.
Because I call him, you know, Mr. Contour.
I hear you. I know.
You know, and I just appreciate, you know, that you plug in him. I go to your site all the time, you know.
Well, you know.
With all your legends.
I hear you.
That you have on there. And I just couldn't see that without seeing Joe Billingsley up there, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm going to talk with Mike, you know.
I absolutely do it. I do it because it keeps me creative. I do it because, you know, I have fun. And you know, it gives me a chance to get into the minds and the souls of some of the people that I've been on stage with for a long time. You know, one of them being like Lenny Welch and a couple of guys. And I can actually say, hey, Lenny, remember the time you fell off the stage? Or, hey, Lenny, remember the time, you know, we ate the bad shrimp and, you know, in the dressing room? And you know, it's stuff that most interviewers have no, you know, they ask just the basic questions. You know, when you get up close to people and you know them, you can bring out things that are, you know, a little more avant-garde, you know what I'm saying? So
it gets personal then.
It's been so great to talk to you, Odell. Thank you so much for joining me on the Harmony Street Show. And, you know, we're good buddies, and we'll be talking to each other a lot in the future. And so I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, man. What an honor, man. I love you so much for that, man.
Thanks.
And hope your listening fans, you know, enjoy it, you know, because Joe is truly, truly a legend, you know, and I thank you for, you know, bringing all of this out for him, you know.
Yeah, and Joe thanks the world of you, too. He's so glad to have you in the group, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's great. I'm glad to be in the group, you know,
okay.
You know, with Al and Chuck. Gary, and you know, and you know, the whole thing, all the wives, you know.
I know. When it's a family, when it's a family, you know, then when all the energy is going in the same place, it makes it even better. By the way, what's your favorite Contours tune?
Do You Love Me? Now That I Can Dance.
The obvious one. Okay, man. I'll talk to you soon, Odell.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. And God bless you and the family and all the listeners.
Thanks.
We love you, man.
God bless you, too.
Yes, sir.
Talk to you later. So is there anything that Joe Billingsley, and by the way, you know, when you look at Billingsley, you would think that it would be spelled with an L-E-Y, but it's not. And I, whenever I look at the spelling of your name, I think it's either French or Dutch, or because it's not spelled the way one would think it would be spelled.
Yeah.
L-E-A.
Well, you're right. And anyway, it's you can spell it S-L-E-E.
Right. Oh.
S-L-E.
Ah.
S-L-E-Y.
Right.
And a Dutch version, S-L-E-A.
Yeah, that's why I thought it might be Dutch, you know? But my feeling
is... The A is like pronounced Y, or however the hell I was told it was, you know, so that's...
Wow.
It's Billingsley, yeah.
Your thing is probably just, you know, spell it any way you want. Just invite me, feed me, pay me, love me, you know? Spell it how you want. Yep. Just call me Joe and make sure that I'm there.
I know when I started school good... And I never get this, cause my mother had come to the school. The teacher, you know how they have you write your name and stuff. The teacher told me that, I was writing my name. I didn't know how to spell my name, you know, and I you know how to spell my name, you know, and she told me that I was spelling it wrong. It's supposed to be a Y. It wasn't with a Y. So, you know, back then the teacher could hit you with the rule. Like I hit with the rule.
Yeah, hear you.
Well, I came home and told my mother about it. And of course, she was really upset. She came up to the school and got that teacher straight, you know.
Yeah.
I never forgot that. Then I spelled my name with an A.
Yep. Well, you know, then because it's very interesting, and I've never seen it spelled that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just another interesting thing about Joe Billingsley.
Let me you know what happened to me, man?
What?
In 1996, I believe it was.
Uh-huh.
We were down south. I can't think what the hell it was. We were down south, and you know how you sing the song, and you get through. And you introduced the group.
Right.
And I was introduced, you know, and we did, you know, did the last song and took our bow. And
right.
We came off stage and went, you know, to the dressing room. Dried off. They came out. They had a table for us to sign autographs.
Right.
And this guy and his girl walked. He said, can we have a picture with you? I said, of course, you know. So he took the picture with me. And I said, thank you very much. He said, will you sign it? I said, sure. I said, will you sign your name? I said, sure. So I signed my name, you know. She said, you know why I asked you, daughter? I said, to myself, I said, yeah, because you were my fan, you know. She said, this is my boyfriend. I said, okay, how you doing? She said, his name is Joseph. I said, how you doing, Joe?
Uh-huh.
She said, his name is Joseph Billingsley. I said, what?
No kidding.
No kidding. And the funny thing about it, he showed me his driver's license and he spelled his name with an A on the end of it, too.
Wow. But you see, that's really interesting because Joe Billingsley is not spelled that way, is not a name that you hear all the time. Mike Miller, there's about a thousand of them. When I go to the doctor's office and I say it's Mike Miller, they say, which one?
Yeah.
You know, because like Johnny Jones.
So what I told this guy, I said, you know what, man? I say, I'm not trying to be funny. I say, did your ancestors own any slaves? And he felt uncomfortable when I asked him that, you know. I say, I'm not trying to be funny now. I say, because... That is the only way you could have got this name is from your ancestors. And I say, and I know that my ancestors were slaves, so
wow.
I understand the history that we took our name from the slave owner. So that's probably how, you know, how you got, how I got my name from you. And he was
wow,
red, but he was very understanding. See, I'm not sure. I said, don't get scared, I'm not gonna jump on you, man.
That's pretty funny.
I never got it. It spelled the same way, and she was just. When they say Joe Billingsley, I just wonder. I say, he can't spell the name like you spell your name, you know. And then she said, how do you spell your name? I told her, for real? I say, yeah, I spell it with A. I showed my driver's license. She said, I signed the picture and everything. Then she told me what his name was and showed me his driver's license. His name was Joseph Billingsley.
It's funny. It would be funny if he had your picture there.
Yeah.
Now they have Ancestry.com. You can go online. You can actually find out who your ancestors were.
Yeah,
I don't know if it works, but you know, you see it on TV now. Who knows if that stuff works? I think
they
just want your money.
Yeah,
I think You know, it's like we talked about the other day, man. Everybody's on the computer all day long. It's like, yeah, well, you know, what's really funny is where do people get their music now? It's like, you know, you can't go to Sam Goody's anymore, and you're not going to buy 45s, and you're not going. Everybody's downloading the music. Nobody knows how to sell tunes anymore.
Right.
It's all up in the air. I mean, you know, they're still trying to figure out what do we do now. I mean, it's
that's right.
So let me ask you, any plans to go back into the studio and do some more recording with this group?
You know, I really don't know. You know, recording is so much different now.
I know.
It's so hard to get your stuff put out now.
I know.
I mean, and there's very few big companies that's going to take interest in my type of music.
Cause yeah, I know.
They want this hip-hop and all this. It's crazy.
Yeah, and you come out with a new album, you sell it to collectibles, they make all the money, and it's like,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't make sense. But so at this point, you do it for the love of it. You guys certainly have a lot more years left, and you're going really, really strong. And, Joe, tell me about the members of the Contours over the years.
Okay, the members of the Contours, of course, myself, Joe Billingsley. We've got Charles Davis, who's been with the group 26 years now. Al Chisholm and Gary Greer, they've been with the group 16 years.
Wow.
And we've got a heck of a bass singer. You guys, you think Melvin Franklin was good? This guy is in the same class as Melvin Franklin. Odell Jones, he's been with the group 5 years.
Wow. Well, you know, as I say, I've heard the group, you know, close up and personal. And the act is one of the best acts in the business at this point, you know, and also combined with, you know, the stories that you tell about the history of the group, which a lot of groups just get up there and they say, and now we're going to do this song, and they do it. But not when Joe is up there. Joe tells you how they got there, what they did there, what they did afterwards, and what they're going to do after the show.
Right.
What would you like to say to fans of the Contours over the years? Is there anything you'd like to say to them now that you have a public forum to say it to some of these people that are listening?
With all sincerity, I really appreciate them, and I thank them from the bottom of my heart. And I know without them, I wouldn't be anything. I've never been too big to take time out to talk with a fan or sign autograph. You know, and I really appreciate them. You know, and I, you know, I just appreciate them. That's all I can really say. And I'm sincere about that because I do know, and everyone should know. Without fans, you know, who are we? You know, who are we? We're just on the planet. You know, I take time out with with my fans. You know, and I enjoy talking with them.
No, I know you do. I've seen it. I mean, I remember on the cruise, everybody worked really long and hard. And then, you know, of course, everybody wants a piece of the Contours, you know, afterwards. You know, how you doing? And asking you a million questions and signing autographs. And, you know, everybody was right there. And that's the love of it. You know, it's like the people want to get close to you. The people love you because, you know, you were part of their lives, and you were in their living rooms, and you were, you know, on their radio, and you were, you might not know them, but they all know you. You know what I'm saying?
They
want to be close to you. It's like, they know who you are. Somebody comes over, hey man, you know, I saw you at, you know, the Apollo, you know, all these years ago and whatever. And you're saying, well, I couldn't see you because I had the lights in my eyes.
But that's true though. You'd be surprised if people would recognize you and say, wow, you know, it's okay.
Did you ever do American Bandstand with the group?
Well, yeah, we did American Bandstand. Cool. And I don't know how true this is, but at that particular time, it was true. We were the first act that Dick Clark had on the show that did a song over twice. Because
wow.
Do You Love Me, you know the part where it fades out?
Right.
They cut it right there, you know, and we were still, because you were pantomime.
Uh-huh. Right, exactly.
We were still in the middle of routines, you know, and there wasn't no music, you know. And the crowd was saying, wait. You know, then Dick Clark came up and said, the record doesn't end there. Play it again. So we did the whole thing over again, you know, and went all the way through that time. So after that, he said, great guy, that's how the record goes. It goes all the way through, you know. So that was a hell of a thing for us to have.
That's very interesting.
I've never seen that tape because it was back then, everything was live. Everything was done live. And we had left Apollo that morning and drove from New York to Philadelphia, and left Philadelphia was coming home, and So like I said, everything was live. So when we got through with the show, we hopped in our car to come home. So we've never seen it. But wow, we were on the road back at after doing the Dirty Dancing concert tour, and we ran into Dick Clark. And our manager tried to get, because we know Dick Clark has that tape.
Right.
And our manager talked to him and his people about getting it, but he wanted an arm and two legs just for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the other side of Dick Clark that nobody knows. You know, it's like sometimes it's about Dick Clark.
We can't pay that amount of money for it. No way. So I guess I'll never see it. Yeah.
No, I know. Well, when you think back, I mean, look at Clay Cole, all the shows that he did on Channel 11 and all of that. You know, all of that stuff got wiped. There's hardly anything left from the Clay Cole show from the years gone by because the station was recording over that tape. That's been sitting around, and they recorded new shows over it, and it was gone.
Right.
It was amazing stuff.
Right.
Well, I, for one, am always ready to catch the Contours, when they're anywhere near Florida.
And thanks, Michael.
I think that everybody, if they have a chance and they go to oldie shows around the country and they want to see the best of the best, when you see the Contours are on the bill, you just go buy a ticket, you sit back, and you'll be looking at Joe Billingsley, the original Contour, the founding member of the Contours, and you guys are just going to go on for a long, long time making people happy.
Thank you. That's what we want to do, make everyone happy.
Absolutely.
The older guys have fine memories, and the new guys say, wow, this is what we've been missing. So this is what we want them to do.
Joe, thank you so much for being with me on the Harmony Street Show. I consider you a friend. I respect your talent and everything that you've put into the Contours over the years and your creativity. And I wish you many, many years of wonderful music and creativity with a wonderful bunch of guys. And so glad to have you as a friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks to me and Mike for having me. And to all your fans, do you love me? No, we love you. Thanks to me.
Wow. Thanks a lot, Joe. Thanks.
Everybody, talk to you.
Ciao. You too. Bye.
Thank you. minutes, but straight up. I've got to lose this feeling today, baby.
Here we go tonight.
Look out,
I'm in love again.
Here we are, where we started before.
You remember when?
Over and over, I tried to forget those memories of how you hurt me. So loving and caring, you see. I'm fighting but losing this battle, I know. Been fighting for very long. I see it, I feel your presence around me. Although I know that you are gone.
Ooh, ooh, I see your face this time. In my soup and my drink yesterday.
Yes, I do.
This is Jimmy J from The Rewind Show, hanging out with my good buddy Mike Miller from The Harmony Street Show.
Of the Cadillacs, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Lloyd Price, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Thank you kindly, ladies and gentlemen. Moving right along at this time by introducing to you a very exciting group. We're going to come out and do a little thing for you entitled Do You Love Me? Ladies and gentlemen, the Fabulous Contour! I can't sleep at night. I wake up, baby, in a terrible fight. Every thought of losing you makes me feel so doggone blue. There's something about you, baby, that'll make my heart beat fast. My soul's on fire, my dear, how long will it last? Do you really, really love me? Do you really, really love me? Do you really, really love me? Or am I living in the past? Hey, now, now, oh, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. Falling, falling from mountaintop, falling fast, I can't stop. What can it be? What a life for me? Can't understand. Do you really love me, baby? Do I stand a chance? Feel like I'm falling, 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 falling. Feel like I'm falling, 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 falling. There's something about you, baby, that'll make my heart beat fast. My soul's on fire, my dear, how long will it last? Do you really, really love me? Do you really, really love me? Do you really, really love me? Or am I living in the past? Yeah! Falling, falling from the mountaintop, falling fast, woo! Can't stop, what can it be? Hallelujah, what a life for me. Can't understand. Do you really love me, baby? Do I stand a chance? Feel like I'm falling, 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 falling. Falling, 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 falling.
Broke my heart, cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around, but now I'm back to let you know we can really shake them down.
Do you love me?
I can really move.
And do you love me?
I'm in the groove.
And do you love me?
Do you love me?
Now that I can dance. Yeah. Yeah. Watch me now.
Hey, work, work. Woo!
I'm working out, baby.
Work, work.
Were you driving me crazy?
Work, work.
Or just a little bit of soda?
Work.
I can mash potato now.
I do the twist.
I can do the twist.
When
I tell me, baby, nah, 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 nah. Do you like it like this?
Do you like it like this?
Tell.
Tell me.
Tell me. Yeah. Do you love me?
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 Na, 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 yeah. Yeah, watch me now.
Hey, work, work.
Woo! Shake it up, shake it.
Work, work.
And shake it down.
Work, work.
All getting with it, boom.
Work, work, work.
All right with me, baby.
Work, work.
Well, you driving me crazy.
Work, work.
I just a little bit of soda. I can imagine potato now. Do that when I tell me, baby, nah, 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 nah. Do you like it like this?
Do you like it like this?
Tell me.
Tell me.
Tell me. Yeah. Do you love me?
Do you love me?
And do you love me?
Do you love me?
Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Take it on down now. Yeah, take it on down. Come on, boom, boom. Yeah. Woo!
Do you love me? Do you love me? Oh, do you love me? Boom, 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 boom,
Do you love me? I'm banging on her. Do you love me? I'm banging on her. You, baby, you and you. Yeah. And you, baby, you and you. Yeah. Early in the morning now. Woo! 5 o'clock now, now. I want you to hold me tight now. Hold me tight now. Woo! Say a woo! Say a woo! Yeah. I'm ready on the right. Ready on the left. Ready on the right. Ready on the left. One for the money. Two for the show. Three to get ready to die. Let's go. Yeah.
Hi, this is Lenny Welch, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Terry Johnson of the Flamingos, and you're listening to Mike Miller and the Harmony Street Show.
Look, I am telling you as a friend because I think you're so nice. I really think a lot of you. Now, you can let her wear your pin, you can let her be your friend, but remember, whatever you do, don't you let her be your baby.
She puts her arms about you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make you feel so fine.
Yeah. She'll be
sugar and spice.
Yeah, sugar and spice.
Everything nice.
Everything nice. And then,
and then,
she's gonna break your heart like she might. Push, 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 push.
She'll put her arms around you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is Mike Miller. Good night from the Harmony Street Show. www.harmonystreet.biz.
Open up your heart. Recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found.
Ooh. On Harmony Street.
Ooh.
There was a place that we used to go. When we were feeling down
and
we were low,
ooh,
we looked into each other's eyes and found the road that led us to
Harmony Street. Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on home.